I want to talk about standing in liberty. On March 23rd, 1775, Patrick Henry delivered one of the most important and dramatic speeches in American history. Henry was the delegate from Hanover County, Virginia, who was at the meeting to discuss the recent proceedings of America's First Continental Congress. Peyton Randolph was the president of the Virginia Convention, attended by 120 delegates, including such notables as George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Richard Henry Lee. As the Virginia Convention debated whether to send troops to fight in the Revolutionary War, Patrick Henry urged them to do so. And here are two portions of his fiery speech. "Mr. President, it is natural to man to indulge in the illusions of hope. We are apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth and listen to the song of that siren till she transforms us into beasts. Is this the part of wise men engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? Are we disposed to be of the number of those who, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not the things which so merely concern their temporal salvation? For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over our destinies of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election. If we were to base enough desire it, and it's now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. It is vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there's no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clashing of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. We stand here. We hear idle. What is that gentleman wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Astounding clarity and urgency by Patrick Henry that set the tone for victory just a little bit more than 1 year later on July 4th, 1776, 56 men would pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor and sign the Declaration of Independence, absolved from all allegiance to the British crown. I would submit to you that we need a Patrick Henry fire in us to protect the liberty that Christ Jesus secured for us and set us free from sin and death and have a fresh vision for souls that need to be liberated from sin and death. Several weeks ago, we started a series on our shore defense. I promised I would continue on this theme for as long as it takes, even if it takes years. And I want every believer in this church to be equipped because we are truly in a spiritual battle. Make no mistake. The scripture says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." If you want to know where that's found, it's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. If you have your Bible open, I encourage you to turn to Galatians chapter 5, and I want us to see what the Bible says about standing in liberty. You know, I was at the parade on Thursday, and it's awesome to be there and see what's going on, and you know, you have opportunities, and we actually had some Gospels of John with us, and we're prepared to give them out. But it's amazing that people seem to enjoy the freedom of the 4th. My beach locally lights up like a firework. It's pretty crazy. And yet people seem to be having a good time, and I'd like to see that. I like to see people having a good time, except when they're smashed. That part I don't like, because that's not true freedom, that's bondage. Just saying. But Americans seem to enjoy freedom. I was watching a little bit last night of people who have no clue of the Founding Fathers. There's just the amount of history that's been forgotten by this generation. And this type of passion that I just did my best to read from Patrick Henry reflects the intensity that was once in the heart of our Founding Fathers for this country. If you watch that opening video, there's a quote by Patrick Henry. It says, "We're not a nation of religionists. We're a Christian nation." This freedom that we're talking about that built this country was the freedom of liberty that I believe is seen right here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. I think as we're reaching out as a church, I think we should, not only should we have tasted the liberty that we ourselves come to know in Christ, we should be eager to share it and look for opportunities to invite people to come to Christ. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in chapter 5, and if you know anything about the book of Galatians, and we had worked through this a number of months ago, but I think all of these are components of spiritual battle. Every one of these portions of Scripture that I've been sort of weaving in and out really represent that we are in war. Jesus talked about, as we talked about last week from John chapter 6, Jesus says that I have food, right? And my food satisfies. You'll never thirst. You'll never hunger. You just look at the world around us and what they're chasing to satisfy hunger, deep soul hunger. And Jesus says, if they come to me and they really know the assurance that I give them, they'll never hunger again. So you got to be mindful that we live in a world of just pursuits and pleasures, and everybody's trying to find something that's going to somehow make them happy. The happiness, the true happiness, is knowing that we are right with God and that we've been completely cleansed and forgiven by the one who paid for our salvation in full on that cross. And it's enough to trust that. It's enough to trust that. You can pledge all your honor and all your duty and all your, but the key about free salvation that comes by Christ is that we simply receive it as a gift. We could never earn it. And then we want to grow in that grace. And Paul speaks to this, I believe, in great clarity in chapter 5. As you see the word circumcision, just know that it was this call to these Christians to go back under the Mosaic law system and all that that would entail, to somehow you have Jesus, but you need to keep this other stuff too. It's pretty subtle, but it's still in our midst today. It's a lot of stuff, a lot of confusion about the grace of God. Sometimes if you just pledge your best, somehow God will bless you. He blesses you because of Jesus Christ, and that's on the authority of the Scripture. He says here in verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore," and he's talking about this word, he says, "in the liberty," this is the word means freedom, "by which Christ has made us free." This is a done deal. "And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Three things I would hope you'll see today in light of Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. They're going to be up on the screen, and they're also on the back of your bulletin. If you're a note taker, I encourage you to take some notes this morning. Number one, I believe this passage points out a couple of very important things. Our need for vigilance. You'll see this in the first couple of verses, and we'll go back to that in just a few moments. The idea, too, is that there is a vulnerability. We are vulnerable. And Scripture is very clear of how you can protect yourself so that you're not just a person, as the Bible says, you're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Think about the things that happen in the world, earthquakes, Ed prayed for that, other things that can go wrong. There are winds of doctrine that are in this world, and people sometimes go to them. when something goes bad in the world, you know, every sign that happens is somehow pointing to something else. And I do believe that there are things that are happening in the world right now that we should be paying close attention to. But I also believe that we need to know how to stay strong in our most holy faith, no matter what's blowing apart around us in this world. But the scripture is quite clear, and Paul points it out here, they're vulnerable. So much so that they've actually gone away from the truth that they were anchored to. And then the hope of victory, and this is the expectation that Jesus could come even today. Do you believe that? I pray you do. I pray you believe that Christ, as he instructed through the Apostle Paul, that the rapture could happen today. Jesus Christ could call and finish the work, that salvation to this offer right now, primarily to the Gentile world. In other words, God is completing his church, and when that last person comes in, wouldn't it be cool over these next 2 weeks that someone receives the gospel of John, received Christ, the rapture happens? Yeah, right? The other thing too is, should the Lord come, and those gospels are now in the hands of people, they have a witness. They have a witness of Christ. There will be a lot of confusion when the rapture happens. What happened to them? They're gone. Millions of people just gone. And so you have to remember that there's going to be a great attempt to organize. But I believe the Bible, Gospels of John, the digital record that we have, you can find so much today on the web. You see the attack of freedom of speech in this land. I don't think I've ever seen such an attack on the freedom of speech. See, because when you have freedom of speech, you have the freedom of the gospel. If you squelch that, then you can tell me what I can and can't say. That's why, while we have opportunity, we want to be able to get the gospel to people. Because should the rapture happen and they didn't receive Christ, they're going through a very difficult period on planet Earth called the tribulation period. You think these earthquakes are bad now in Houston, California? Stuff's going to come. And God's going to make his last call to the Jewish nation. Gentiles will still come in. It will be difficult to get saved. Many people will get saved during that time, but it's a do or die time. That's why we want to urge people to get born again now. While you got opportunity to share Christ, to know Jesus, to know the real life that you can have in him. And I really believe that we are part of something important in our church. So those 3 points, our need for vigilance, we remember that we're vulnerable, and our hope of victory. The Apostle Paul is declaring that Christ is the great liberator who sets believers free from bondage. The Apostle then appealed to the Galatians to stand firm. Do you know how many times the Apostle teaches about standing firm? You could see it if you're a note taker in 1 Corinthians 16:13, Philippians 1:27, Philippians 4:1, 1 Thessalonians 3:8 and 2 Thessalonians 2:15. All of those scriptures have a very strong tone about the necessity of standing firm in the faith. Because guess what? If you're not standing firm, you're weak and you're vulnerable. But God wants to fortify us that we would know how to stand firm and to be alive and to be serving the Lord, because he put new life in us. He put a new nature in us. He gave his salvation to us freely. And now he wants us to cooperate with the help of his Spirit to reach more people for him and to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. I truly believe this church has a party atmosphere. These are happy people. Most times you guys look so happy. I just got to tell you, you're just a happy group of people. And we have a good stuff going on here. And I see what God is doing here. And I'm so thankful for what the Lord is doing. And if you're not in on it, get in on it. You know, you have to ask them, why don't I serve God? What is it in my life that I just choose not to? Is it, you know, sometimes we have to work through those things. If there's something in that you want to do or you're not sure, come and talk to me. Let's figure this out together. I hired Lorenzo. I appointed him as the hot dog connoisseur. And he's going to wear that hat next week. I will make him. But it's required. You can say that because he's not here. That's right. I can say that because he's not here. But he loves me. Okay, so Paul is telling us to stand firm in this liberty. For we have been delivered from a slavery of heathenism and unbelief. And that was what was happening in the lives of these Galatians. They were in all types of idolatry and things that would have just had them just in bondage. And they sensed this amazing liberty. We don't have to keep trying to appease false gods. We don't have to be in this false religious system. We're not worried about who's, if we don't appease this one. See, we want to please God and not appease God. That's our God, because he was already pleased so completely in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did that for us. This is an amen. 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 And I want you to hear this thought. Bondage is anything that affects us in mind, body, and soul. Mind, body, and soul. You think about your mind, how sometimes it's so hard to get it away from thinking just crazy thoughts. And if you feed this thing, if you feed those thoughts of worry, anxiety, and what if, and if this happens, what will that do? It's like you become just, it's an all-consuming thing. They talk about stress on the body. Jesus says, what a man thinks in himself, so is he. If we're filled with anxiety, filled with worry, what's going to happen if this happens? Well, if you're in Christ, you have all the security that you need. You are at home in Christ. God wants you to know that. Anyway, so bondage affects our mind, our body, and our soul. Literally, it can be so costly that it can take us to hell. If that bondage doesn't get broken and sin and the power that sin had on our lives doesn't get broken before we leave this life, we will spend an eternity. Praise God for the rescuing work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us and died for us. Creating a dependency in our lives, if we allow dependencies to develop, Satan is the father of lies, and he tries to entice souls. Just look at our world around us in the enticing lies. We were on the beach the other night, and I'm walking up, and Amanda and I look at each other, and we're like, Massachusetts. And behind me, a little kid's like, what's that smell? And like, Dad says, medicine. I'm like, oh no, now it's just medicine. Heard you, Dennis. You know, Luke 10, there's a story just before Jesus talks about the Good Samaritan, and a lawyer puts Jesus to a test. It's amazing how Jesus just is so patient. A lawyer puts the Lord Jesus to a test. And he says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, well, what's written in the law? And he says to a lawyer, what's your read on it? I love that. What's your read on it? So the lawyer answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Do you see what loving God does? It affects all of us. It affects our mind. So you can love Jesus with your mind. You know, I hate to single out my daughter, but I will. I know you guys honored her last week, and we're grateful for her. But I was talking to her about a conversation that she just had about a belief within the Christian community that says something additional has to happen to you after you get saved. In other words, you don't really get all of the Spirit when you get saved. You don't get, there's like a second baptism that has to come in. And then so now you have to sort of see if you're really, in one sense, worthy enough, ready enough, you know, so you're now kind of thinking if this is pushed strongly enough, you think you're missing something. And the scripture is very clear that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ. So and Paul talks about how the Spirit saved us. The moment that we believed, we were sealed for the day of redemption. This is just powerful stuff. Now, you can avail yourself to more of the Holy Spirit's power, and I believe that's using the mind that God's given you, using his word that we're looking at, so that we're growing up and becoming mature people, intelligent people. But she heard a conversation, and she says in a nice way, I got to give some pushback to that. And I said, see, that's guts, that's courage. See, when you hear something that's not right, you can speak up against it. But you're not trying to be, I'm so right and they're wrong. It's just like, I see the trajectory here. If this teaching gets out of whack, this is going to mess you up. And this has happened to a lot of people. There are whole movements that you could follow on the internet of people who professed sort of a fringy group of Christianity, and they're burnt and they're drained. And they've been loved on. They were so loved on but they were taught error, and now they are not standing firm anymore. So you have to be really wise. And as you see, when Paul says stand firm, he's like, because there are going to come things in our lives that are going to try to take us away from our true, just genuine security that we have in Jesus. And it happened to these gullible Galatians. As J. Vernon McGee says, that Paul's coming out with his war paint on in this book. He's fighting. And he is making, if you look at the tone of the book of Galatians, it is really like Paul comes out fighting because these believers are being torn away from their firm foundation. And back to this story where Jesus is speaking to this lawyer in Luke chapter 10, Jesus points out to him that you got to love God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength. So it takes work to stand. I believe it takes work to grow yourself in your most holy faith. As Jesus went on to talk about the Good Samaritan, the person, who's my neighbor, the man says, because that's the end of the story right there. He said to him, you answered rightly. He said to him, you have answered rightly, do this and you will live. But he wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus talks about this man who goes down and gets beaten up, and all these people walk, these three people walk by him. Finally, the third person stops and takes care of him and loves him and feeds him and helps him get well. So our neighbor is anybody. He's talking about our neighbor-to-neighbor campaign. Our neighbor really is anybody in need. So here I am the other day in a local store. And before I left the church, I said, I'm going packed. So I put some Gospels of John in my pocket, and I said, I'm going out, and I'm going to be prepared for conversation. As I'm getting out of the car, I realize I actually haven't, they're on the seat, and I realize I got to put these in my pocket. If I plan to give these out, I better be ready. The moment I'm getting out of my car, I see a woman who's now got two carriages that she wants to return, and she says, do you want a carriage? And I said, sure, and I got something for you. And I proceeded to talk to her, and I said, I just want to let you know that I'm a local pastor, and we're doing an outreach, and in here is a Gospel of John that really shows you, you know, what it's all about, what our church believes. And she looked at me, and she said, thank you. I'm thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. I'm one for one. So the story gets even more interesting. Now I'm in the store. I have one left. Not sure if I'm going to get an opportunity. So I get through, get up to the line. Busy store. It's July 3rd. This guy comes up with a watermelon. I said, oh, are you going to have a watermelon contest? And he's got his wife, I believe, right beside him. He's probably 65-ish. He's like, no, we're going to fill it with vodka and get smashed. I said, well, that's a nice lead-in. I said, I'm not letting this one go by the grace of God. I have no idea what to say. Yeah, I said, those watermelons are good prices, aren't they? You know? So, I'm not sure how this door is going to open. I said, I'm just going to take a chance here, and I'm going to wait. And I'm hoping he's parked right beside me. And wouldn't you know, he was parked right beside me. And I said to him, I said, I just want you to know, I said, and at this point, he's like, hey, have a happy 4th. I'm like, yeah, you too. I said, I have something for you. And I said again, I said, I'm a local pastor. And I said, in here is really a booklet that I really believe can change your life. I said, I really encourage you to read it. It's Gospel of John. And the woman is just like keying into me. I'm like thinking, wow. So as I passed it off, and they said, thank you. And I said, do you have any grandkids? We got some fun things happening next Sunday. We have no kids, you know. So, no, he said, we don't got any of those. That's what he said to me. We don't got any of those. All that to say, I believe, is they got it back into the car, and it says, as you'll see in those envelopes, an invitation and a gift for you. Why wouldn't you read it? Why wouldn't you at least be curious? I mean, he might be peeling through that page looking for 100. I don't know. You never know. I mean, people do all types of stuff with gifts. But I believe evangelism 101 is just inviting people. I really believe it. I mean, some of us we can just invite people to church. You know, as Dennis mentioned, that, you know, you do get good at maybe sharing Christ with people. But you also have to look at yourself as somebody who has received eternal life as a gift. You're not good enough to get it. You never were, you never will be. But God makes you worthy because he loves you. And he loves his son. And he can give everything in Jesus, he can give to you. But it has to be received by faith. You have to look to Jesus, understand why he died upon that cross, and say, I believe that. He died for me. Matter of fact, he took all my sin. Do you realize how offensive sin is to God? It's offensive because our God is so holy, but he loves his creation. He loves people, that he would send his only son to planet Earth to pay a full price for sinners. And upon receiving Christ in your life, you are justified forever. The assurance that you and I need our whole entire life to grow and to understand and to grow in this grace. And I think that's why Paul is so, he's so, in one sense, I hate to use the word frustrated, but I think he's a little bit frustrated that these Galatians, who he invested in and got them growing, false teaching came in and took them off their course. And now he's going to go back and tell them, he's going all the way back into the Old Testament system and to clarify things and how justification, how Abraham ultimately is the picture of how justification happens. It happens by faith. It happens by believing God. When God says something, you take him at his word. You believe him. Abraham believed God and he was counted as righteous. That's the same for you and I. Believing Jesus Christ, receiving Jesus Christ is enough. And to be fully liberated by Jesus Christ means total freedom from any system that would require salvation in any other way outside of Jesus Christ. When we sing, as Amanda and Beth sang, Jesus paid it all, we mean he paid it all in full. We want us to learn to stand in this liberty, and then we want to grow in this liberty. I have a Greek friend. Her name, she's with the Lord now. Her name was affectionately known as Effie. Eleftheria is her name, and that's the word here. And guess what the word liberty means in the Greek? It means freedom. Christ has called you to freedom. He wants you to be you in Jesus Christ. The personality he put there, the goofiness he put there, you. He wants to use you. He wants you so free in him that you have the power by his Spirit to go out and tell people about him. That you're not afraid to be what he wants you to be. See, we don't realize what sin did to our lives. It was destroying our lives. Sin is a terrible thing. Every one of us came into this world with it. The only way that it gets removed is looking to Jesus. That is a hallelujah. That is awesome that sin gets removed as we understand what he did for us. And guess, remember what we always say here. Jesus is a person. He's a living person. He's a resurrected person. And he is coming again. So this is why we have this need for vigilance, verses 1 and 2. Stand fast. This is like stand firm. Don't give any ground here. Therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free, do we recognize what truly happened at that cross on our behalf? And then this amazing transaction that God now can do to your account through his Son. And he says, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I've talked to people, they keep cycling in and out of bondages in their Christian life, and it's painful, it's depressing. I know I should be in church, I can't get myself out of bed, blah, 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 and I get it, it's hard, I know. See, Paul says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This salvation that we have is so magnificent. It's going to take a little bit of work for us to understand it. It takes work. It takes work for you to be here on a Sunday morning. And I appreciate everybody who shows up. But I have to say, if we're not working even a little bit harder in the sense of trying to do what we can to grow ourselves, some of this stuff just kind of slips away. If we're just honest, you and I have to keep ourselves. Jude said, keep yourself in the love of God. I know Christ keeps us. I get that. But I also know that I can sort of keep myself in renewing my mind in my most wonderful holy faith that Jesus secured for me. There's a lot of things that will get me, a lot of things that can distract me, I'm just like you. I can worry. I can worry about money. I can worry about the future. I've had a wife that went through a brutal battle with leukemia. Every time she gets a cough, I'm like a little nervous. I still get nervous. I have a son who lives with a VP shunt. And we talk about Aaron sometimes getting headaches and what that might mean for Aaron. It's a surgery. It could be whatever. In his case, the shunt is a life-saving device in his life. We don't ever want to be without a place that we can get his shunt fixed. You think about healthcare rationing and all this other stuff and all these things that Satan just wants to throw at us to worry. And Jesus talks about how that type of stuff, the worries and the cares of this life, actually cause you a lot of extra anguish. And we can lose a lot of ground just by simply letting our mind not be renewed in our most holy faith, the need for vigilance. And somebody else comes along in your life and they say, well, you know what, you also need to do X, Y, and Z as a Christian. And that's what Paul's going after here. Okay, you are set free once and for all by Jesus. Now it's going to take a very strategic, spiritual warfare-minded individual that's going to learn how to protect that. Are you with me this morning? Indeed, he says, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. In other words, if you turn back to things that you were, that Christ is the fulfillment of that Old Testament system in full, incomplete, and if you turn back to it in some way, try to perfect yourself with other religious means, and people like to throw stuff around, church membership, baptism, and I'm all for believers' baptism, but if you are baptized as a believer, you are to be a believer before you are baptized. You are to show forth your obedience to Christ because I love him, I know what he did for me, and I want to declare that publicly. That is baptism. But the real baptism that happened in our life was the baptism by the Holy Spirit, who baptized, the scripture says, he baptized us into Christ. He baptized, when we trusted him, he placed us in Christ. He placed, my life is now hidden with him in Christ. That's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing. This Bible says that Jesus, God sees me as righteous as Jesus Christ. That should wake you up. Is that your joy this morning?
Yes.
You know what you can see in you, and I can see in me. It's like, oh man, I did that again. Oh, I thought that. You know, it's like, just you want to just get rid of that stuff. It's like, it's not part of me anymore. I want that out of here. But it still seems to come in. It's like the way, it's like the being by the ocean. Those, that tide's still coming in. I saw some of those swimming pools out in California. People were staring at their swimming pool like, I've never quite seen it move that way, you know, because this aftershocks and all this scary stuff. See, we live in scary days, and I think the men yesterday going out to actually give Gospels to John, people are hungry to know. Do you realize people are hungry to know that all their sins have been forgiven and they're right with God? And you and I are ambassadors sent from heaven because Jesus wants us to tell them that they too can get in on it. Amen. That's right. I got a guy here in the front row. Yeah. People do need the Lord. You're right, Ed. Peter would put it this way, be sober means think clearly, be sober. Intoxication, I've been there, done that. Not in a long, long time, just saying. But I just remember being messed up and my brain is just not working quite right. And I did stupid things. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, and don't underestimate what Satan can do to a weak believer. The devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Huh. And Dennis, I've talked to you many times. Dennis has been very long-suffering with a lot of people in his life. People that most of the world would just quit on. And I'm sure Dennis, you at times probably felt like I should quit on them too, but he didn't. But there are people that Dennis had to say in their last breath after going back to alcoholism 6, 7, 8, 10 times, Dennis finally says, I'll see you in heaven. I'll see you in heaven. Because somehow they didn't learn to resist and stand firm in the faith. So it's a sad reality. It's a sad reality when people who can build them, could have been built up in their most holy faith, could have had a grand entrance when they see Jesus, somehow in that, let their life be devoured by a satanic work in this world, because you and I need a spiritual defense in our lives. And we never want to get away from that. I want to be protected. I love protection. Every night I'd walk around my house, I locked my doors. Like, they're locked. You know what I mean? Yeah, right. But we like that. We like feeling secure. I like knowing my whole family's at home at night. We're all in bed. We're all together. It's like it's all good. No one's out. Everybody's home. No one's driving around. And yet there's some part of me that realizes that we still live. I'm vulnerable. And that's what Paul points out. He says again in verse 3 and 4, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. A lot of people think this means they lost their salvation. Here's what they've done. They've taken themselves out of the realm that they're going to grow in. When you fall from grace, you're saying that I'm kind of okay with mingling other stuff in there. I have Jesus, but this is also helpful to me in terms of your real security. And I think we need to protect the gospel in one sense, that it's a completed gospel and that we don't want anybody to miss this. But we also know that if there are people in our lives that somehow they're trying to add to the gospel, I believe they've fallen from grace. They've taken themselves out of the real joy that could be theirs. Really understanding how secure and complete it is, how much they got at salvation, how much they need to continue to build onto that. You know, I've heard so much teaching over the years, kind of a social gospel, where it's like, if you're really a Christian, you will do this. You will dig the wells in some African country. I'm all for meeting the needs of poor people, but if you start yoking a Christian up with this social obligation duty to prove that they're really a Christian, who can ever keep up with that? How much money would you have to give to be fully satisfied in that? And so people start feeling like, you know, I'm a real Christian. I start, you know, I did this, I did that. So now you're resting on some accomplishment versus on the finished work of Christ. This is so important. If you want to become, a missionary, praise God. I pray that God will lead you by His Spirit to truly go liberate people. It might involve digging a well. But if you're trying to go dig a well because somehow you feel guilty because you're not digging that well, or somehow you didn't do enough in your life because somehow God will be more pleased with you if you go and do that, I believe you're setting yourself up for a long time disappointment, because God wants to grow babies. We were all infants that needed to be grown. And as you get stronger and grounded in your most holy faith, you will become less vulnerable. You guys, we're getting talked at all the time. There's stuff all over the internet. Be very discerning with what you listen to in terms of what's trying to get in between you and Jesus. Do not let anyone try to get you in a yoke of slavery. It is deadly. It will stifle your spiritual development. You'll actually fall from grace, and you'll wonder what happened in my life. I hope you hear that. I say that out of love and from my heart. We recognize that vulnerability is a part of the human condition. Jesus said, or Isaiah talks about, all we like sheep have gone astray, each to our own way, but the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We need more Christians just simply rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing in what God gave to them, getting stronger in that. And recognize that God can lead our lives in such a way. I love what Hebrews talks about. I believe it's chapter 12, verse 15. He says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. That's what bitterness can do to a church. They didn't recognize me. They didn't do this. Somehow it's like it's bitterness, and you start to think, and we feel slighted. I felt slighted at times in my life, and I realize it's a dead-end street. If I serve the Lord, and when I serve the Lord, He knows it. That's an awesome thing. Your Lord knows when you're serving Him. I'm all for it. You know, as a pastor, I believe in honoring people, recognizing people, appreciating people, giving them a hot dog hat, crowning them with a bow tie. I do. I want people to know that I appreciate them. And I do my best to tell you guys I appreciate you. But I also know that I'm human, you're human, and that bitterness can get in the life of a church, and we have to guard against that. The warning here is see to it that no root of bitterness grows up and defiles many. I've seen churches destroyed over bitterness. Big conflict, splits, a mess. And somehow, because I think what happens is, in light of what Paul is saying, people are looking to perfect themselves in another way outside of Jesus. And this can still happen in the church today. You got to keep your eyes fixed on him and what he's done for us. We have an ever-present hope. The Bible says he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. And this third point here, our hope of victory. Paul says, we through the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, this is the Spirit's impression on us. We eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. You know, all this stuff ceremonial, the stuff we didn't do, the stuff we think we should have done, all that stuff that would make us feel like either less or too much, or we did all the right stuff, you go with Christ. Paul says it avails, nor uncircumcision avails anything. In other words, it's not beneficial. You know, Paul talks about bodily discipline. Yeah, it's good for a bit, but it really has very little profit. Yeah, if you stay healthy, that's great. I'm all for that. Let's do our best to stay healthy. But long term, this body is going to go in the ground unless Jesus comes first. And that's my prayer. I just love that. When we see him, we will be like him. Wow. This is my God. He raises his own son from the dead, who looked awful, dead, crucified. And Jesus shows up and says, I am he. Why do you seek the living one, right? Among the dead. So he's for alive forevermore, and he can give you and I, and he will give us the very same completed body that he himself has. It is awesome, the hope that the believer has. Christ Jesus knows the world that he came to. This is a lost world. People are born in sin every day. They come out of that womb, they have sin, they need to be saved. In other words, they just need to look to Jesus, who takes away sin. God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even before we showed up here, there was already a perfect provision waiting to be received. Don't let your kids and grandkids go down the wrong path without knowing Christ. That's so important. Because he's the great liberator. He's the one that will help us stand in liberty. He is our hope of victory. Jesus would talk a little bit about this in John chapter 8, around verse 35. He's talking about the difference between a slave and a son. And I'm going to close with this. He says, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Are you a son of his this morning? Are you a daughter of his this morning? You will abide with him forever, Jesus says, and with such emphasis and completeness here, he says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That is the promise of our Savior for anyone who will look to him. Let us be about helping people look to him over this next week. That table is well stocked. Let's get it evacuated. Let's get some packets in our hands. Let's just say, come to my church next week. I'll do all the hard work. I don't care. I mean, as far as I don't mind sharing this word. I love to see people come to know Christ. I want to be a part of that. I need encouragement in this area. Just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean like I'm just the pro. I am not the pro, okay? What I want to do is I want to get more confident and better because I stand in liberty that is secured for me. And guess what? Others can too. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful liberty that was secured by our wonderful, matchless Savior who loved us, who died for us, who rose again for us. Father, I pray for anyone in this room this morning that says, you know what, I just need to know this better, and I want to know it better, and I want to be able to tell people about my awesome, loving Savior who died on the cross for me and for them. Help us, Lord, to be good communicators. Help us to be filled with this passion, a Patrick Henry type passion that says, give me liberty or give me death. I want liberty. I want to know this and I'm willing to fight for it. Help us, Lord, this morning to become the men and women, boys and girls who care much about lost souls, who care about the things that you care about. I thank you for the men that went out yesterday. Thank you for every invitation that's being handed out around our community. It doesn't matter where they're going. It matters that they're going. Lord, build our church for your glory, for purposes that are way beyond us, but that people can find life in the Savior. That's what we want more than anything. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.